go over to Luke 12. We're going to go to verse 32 tonight. We'll just get right in there unless the Holy Ghost does something else. We'll go with him. Praise God.
Praise God. Thank you.
We are talking about reaping the harvest these days, which is important. Jesus said the fields were white, so, you know, harvest is souls, of course. Harvest is your finances. Harvest is favor. Harvest, you know, it entails all these things. None which should be left out. A lot of people think that harvest is just souls. Certainly most important. But how you live your life, how you're favored. God favors you because he loves the people that you influence. And so we have to remember that everything that God blesses us with has to do with us reaching people. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're talking about that, and we don't want to be satisfied with just enough of anything. We want to live in more than enough. We want to live in too much. You remember when Keith Moore taught us all too much? He talked about too much flow. And so the reason why if you're overflowing with the anointing, you have something to give away, right? If you're overflowing with the word, you have something to give away. If you're overflowing financially, you have something to give away. If you're overflowing with joy, you have something to give away. If you're not overflowing, it's a little bit more difficult to do what you need to do, and it kind of becomes works.
Yeah.
Okay. So God doesn't really care that much about being average.
Come on. Amen.
He doesn't. He's not average.
True.
And so he doesn't want you being average. And he created above average creatures, and he has so much that he wants to share with them.
Amen.
I didn't realize how long ago this was, but because I didn't realize I was this old, I guess. But my favorite movie of all time is The Sound of Music. The hills are alive. Oh, everybody's singing it. So, now that's, gosh, I must have been 12, so it was a long time ago. But, it's a beautiful movie about beautiful things. Love and children and scenery and, you know, all the good things in life, how cold hearts can turn warm, things like that. But there's a scene in the show. And Maria has just, you know, the kids are putting frogs in her pocket and stuff, you know, remember that? And so she's going to get along with the kids somehow. So there's a storm, and it's blaring outside, and everything's crackling. And so every time it thunders, another kid runs into her room. Remember that? And so she teaches them a song called My Favorite Things. Remember the song, Raindrops on Roses, Whiskers on Kittens? You know it. I don't know about that kitten part. But anyway, the rest of the song, I'm kidding. But it's about things, when you start thinking about things you love,
yeah.
This is what I'm getting at. We start thinking about things you love, you get kind of happy.
Yeah.
Don't you? When you think about what you're grateful for, it lifts you. You know, there's a lot of times, I mean, things can go on. Life can get kind of drugged. You can get kind of drugged down and everything. But when you start thinking about the blue sky and the green fields and the painted buntings outside your window and the hummingbirds sitting on a little nest and things like that, you start getting happy. You start thinking about things you really like.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leads you to a word called pleasure. And Luke 12:32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, that's a short verse, but it is power-packed. Just the fear not says so much to us. We are not to fear, church. We're not to walk in fear in any sort of way. And, you know, we understand, and we can go scripturally. We could go over to 1 John 4, and we would see that perfect love cast out fear.
Right.
And so we would know that we have a Father who loves us, and the more we know about how much he loves us, the more fear leaves us.
Amen.
Amen. And so then we know it said, fear not, little flock. Well, if you look at Christians, if you look at us, we're actually a little flock compared to the world population, compared to unbelievers, much more today than probably were when I was 12. There were a lot of believers. Now there's more people in the world and less people who even know about Jesus. It's a good reason to get out there and tell it, right? Amen. Tell about him. And so every available voice, right? And so, yet, though we're small in number, this is what Jesus was trying to say. Though you're small in number, never fear. Because Father dear will take care of us. He will take care of us because you have a great shepherd. He's a shepherd and he'll take care of you. He's a father. He will be there for you. He'll protect you and he'll straighten you out when you need to be straightened out. Amen. And so he cares for us. So it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. The kingdom, of course, is his rule, his reign, his realm, his way of doing things. It is actually a kingdom that exists in a realm that is very real, and it belongs to us. Right. It's a system, and we work it. We are citizens of that kingdom, and it is Father's good pleasure to give us that. I'll say something else about that in a minute, but we're not slaves. We're no longer slaves. You know, we could compare, we're not in Egyptian bondage, but what we do, the very reason we have church is to get Egypt out of us. Why? Because we're required to live by faith.
Right.
And the more reproach you get out of you, the more you stop feeling rejected, the more you stop living in a dark place, the more you'll live by faith, the more you can do for Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's pretty hard to step out on faith if you don't believe anything.
True.
Or if you don't believe in yourself. But Jesus said here that it's God's good pleasure to give us this. So he's happy with you, church.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you. And so as you begin to move along, you're going to be free more and more and more. So many of us came from religion. We were Christians, but in religion. So we had to get rid of that. Some people just came from the world, so they had to get rid of that. Some people came out of bad living situations or bad things that happened. You got to get rid of that, but you got to get out. The rejection syndrome causes people to not be able to give and receive love. And so if you're going to minister to people, love is a huge key. It's a huge key because, well, I'll just say it is for this house because we're not going to go out publicly and hold up turn or burn signs.
No.
That's not how we're going to reach people. We're going to reach people by the love of God and by talking to people, ministering to people who God leads us to. Amen. So I want to say something about Riley, who's one of mine and Deb's dear friends, Riley Stevenson. You know, he's the evangelist for Brother Copeland, busy all the time. Kim works for Kelly, and he's the evangelist. If you just look just head on at him, it looks like he's just stopping everybody on the street and ministering to them. But if you hang around him, you'll find out he only goes to the ones that God tells him to walk up to.
Right.
He is led by the Spirit when he walks up to people. He and his teams, and he's brought a team here before, and it was so good. But he has the right heart for it. Mm-hmm. And he makes life real simple for the people he wins. Amen?
Yeah.
It's just really sweet. And so we do appreciate him and the way he does it. Keith Moore taught me something one time. He said, don't just try to put marks on your belt.
Right.
I won them today. I won 10 today. I won 15 today. I won. The harvest is ripe, but you got to know when to pick the fruit.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So anyway, We're coming out of bondage. We're being able to reach more people. And it just seems like that today, to me, that we need to be more separated from the world system than we ever have, because it's pretty dark.
Yeah.
And so we need to be connected to the kingdom of God. When we were born again, we became new creatures. We also became citizens, according to Ephesians. So we're to do business with heaven.
Right.
We do business with heaven. And we are not alone. We're not here just trying to figure it out. We aren't here to do the best that we can do until we go to heaven. Mm-hmm. We can do God's will here because we're here in power and authority. Would you agree with that?
That's right.
You have some power and authority, and then we have a guide, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so we're told in Matthew 6:33 to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so seeking, we point ourselves toward the kingdom, what God is offering us, and we reach out and he begins to, I'll say it like this, feed it to us. He begins to open the realm up to us as we go.
Yeah.
Amen. And, you know, we'll go for long stretches of time where there's a lot of teaching, and then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will blow up and we'll start having glory stuff, and then we'll go back into teaching, and then there'll be a Holy Ghost stuff, and then and it just kind of moves like that, and we continue to go in that. But we're headed for the day that we better get taught up.
Yeah.
Because there'll be a lot of days when the glory is manifesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
You're like, well, when, Pastor, when? Well, ask Jesus. I'm just listening to him every day. It has been promised to me by the Holy Ghost that I would see it.
Yeah.
And so every day I'm looking. Yeah. Now, so we don't have to figure that out. We just need to seek. We need to seek his ruling, his reigning, his way of doing things. So it's your Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom. You can download all day long for every situation. You can get answers through God, through the Spirit of God all day long. Who's right there on the inside of you, He knows things of the Spirit. He knows the plan, and he'll let you know the plan.
Yeah.
He'll give you ways to answer people.
Yeah.
A group of us went today. Pastor Danny organized for us to go see Akiana's, paintings today. And it was just so wonderful. And it's inspirational to think how much she could download. How much she could pull from the realm. That could make me go into some prophetic stuff here. I'm going to see if I can. Well, I'll just do what the Lord wants me to.
Yeah.
But you can too. I'm just going to have to go there. Okay, so I was texting Danny, and I told her, I said, you know, having this in Marble Falls, that's not a coincidence.
No, it's not.
Because the anointing that is on her is on this city.
Yes.
It's the same kind of thing. And if it's on this city, it's on these churches.
Yeah.
And if it's on these churches, then we can drink from that well and produce the same thing that that place down there is producing. And that's people coming in and getting moved by God. Yes. Are you meeting someone out there and them getting moved?
Yes.
Not just in here, but wherever we are.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. But the insight, those poems, amazing. I mean, just the pictures are wonderful. I particularly like the painting where she is a self-portrait and she looks like Rembrandt in it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I thought, how do they do that? How do they do that? It's what they see. It's what they perceive. So if you can perceive it, you can have it, and you can do it. You just have to get the right perception of what's going on. Amen? And so when you get the right perception through the kingdom of God, there's many things that you can do. So the word pleasure is 2106 in the Strong's, and it means approve, think good, be well pleased. The Webster says a state of gratification or delight. And then I believe this is the Greek. It's 2107, and it is will time seems good or satisfaction. So it's when someone is happy about it and goes, yeah, this is good. So, you know, I would just ask you, just think for a minute, what brings you pleasure? You can probably think now, if I were to think about Danny Schaefer, I would immediately go, coffee. Yeah. Danny loves coffee, right? Now, this is a little thing. You know, Danny loves Jordan. That's the, you know, Jesus and Jordan. And what a blessing, right? That's great. I hear those two names more than anything, so I get that picture, right? But what do you love? You know, what do you really love? I mean, I love travel. Mm-hmm. I love my poodles. I love living in the country.
Oh, yeah.
I love not living far from the lakes.
Yeah.
I love the Word of God. I love revelation. I love anointing. I love anointing. These things bring me pleasure. I love my job.
Yes.
That's remarkable in these days. It's a good thing to do what you're called to do.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And so you're probably sitting there thinking, you know, and now I love the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to Hawaii twice. I love the Caribbean. It is just amazing to me, the water there, the white sand. See what I'm thinking about? I like the warm weather. Yeah, see, there you go, that turquoise looking stuff. Trunk Bay, nothing looks like Trunk Bay on St. John, you know. So you're sitting here thinking, what do I love? Well, what do you love? I love mooses and horses. Yeah. You know, what do you love outdoors? You love certain movies. You love certain music. You know, there's things that please you.
Yeah.
You hear those things. You hear that song that pleases you.
Yes.
You know, and you're like, wow, I really like that. Now, for those of you that are a little young, I was telling Deb today, I said, you know, some of the younger people, they didn't experience like the crooners and stuff like we did, or the people with the easy listening. Now, some of y'all did. You've gone back and picked it up. But, you know, we were raised with Barbara Streisand.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, she wrote a song called Evergreen.
Mm.
And how can you not like that song? Do y'all know it? How many of you know the song? My goodness, yeah. Shall I play it for you?
I'll go ahead and sing it.
It says, oh, no. These are the first words of it. Love, soft as an easy chair. She's got the best voice I've ever heard. But when I heard that, that brings me pleasure to hear that. On the other side of my life, I like Fleetwood Mac, and that's a whole different sound, right? And then I love the Bethel music more. And I love, I really like Charity Gale, and that brings me joy.
Yeah.
I tell you, one of the things I like that you may not know about is Jordan on the guitar. When he hits those notes, I'm always looking over at him going, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was a drummer, so I'm really fond of you. You know, I mean, that's just what I did. I love the way you're a good drummer. It's no secret. I love cowboys. What do you love? What do you love? What brings you pleasure? It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yes.
He gets excited about it like I got excited about Barbara and Julie Andrews singing on Sound of Music. Or, he's excited about that. It brings him pleasure. He's like, yeah. One of the greatest pleasures I have is giving to my grandson. I'm going tomorrow night to go take him to dinner for his birthday. I've already sent the birthday presents. But that's my... Now, think about Father giving you something.
Oh, yeah.
He is thrilled to give you the house of your dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
He's thrilled to give you land. He's thrilled to let you drive the car you want to drive. He's thrilled to give you the anointing to talk to lost people.
Oh, yeah.
He's thrilled about it. He wants to give you the kingdom.
Yeah.
And he's not mad because I like those songs.
Come on, no.
He's not upset. Not, you only need to hear. He's not upset about that. He's not upset that you like to go hunting.
No.
Boy, you better just go to church. No, that is part of your church.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
That's part of it. Uh-huh. It's not the only part because you have to assemble with believers.
Right. Yeah.
But you have to understand, meet God on different levels, and it's his good pleasure to give you a poodle. I mean, the kingdom. I'm just trying to soften you up here.
Yeah.
It's God's pleasure to give you. It's God's pleasure for to, if you like motorcycles, that he'll ride with you.
Yeah.
We started with the Copelands in the 90s, the early 90s, well, the late 80s. And the first thing I learned was Brother Jerry and Brother Copeland and Dennis Burke and Happy Caldwell and Jesse then came along right after we did. And they all rode motorcycles. And the religious people hated it. And they started holding motorcycle rallies.
Yeah.
And it brought on a whole different group of people.
Yeah.
And we'd go down there and baptize them in Eagle Mountain Lake.
Yeah.
It was the coolest thing. Everybody was out there in tents.
Yeah.
And our grand pastor, Jim Hester,
yeah,
would be up there preaching. And then Jesse ended up coming and it just, it got a whole new group of people because God loved to give them what they love to do.
Yeah.
So don't just take what you love to do lightly. It could be your evangelistic tool.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be you out on the corner.
Right.
It, there could be a lot of ways that you could evangelize the world or minister even to our people. Now, so we really need to think about what does please God. And I want to mention a couple of things to you. It pleases God for you to have some heaven on earth, so says the scripture. And so heaven has no crime, no evil, no crying, just love and service. Everybody's serving, everybody's happy, everybody's doing something in the kingdom. It's great beauty. You think it's pretty here? I'm going to tell you something. Wait till you think we see that pretty water there, Margaret? Wait till we see out in the Caribbean. Wait till we see heaven's Caribbean. It's going to be amazing. But he did give us the blessing of making things beautiful here. You remember the story I told you about the mom who took the kids to the theme park?
Yeah.
I brought you here to have a good time. Now straighten up. That's what God's saying. Come on, get over your stuff and let's have a good time.
Yeah.
Let's have a good time because if you're having a good time, I can use you.
Yep. Oh,
amen. Cool. I can use you. He has purpose for it. Hey, does he want you to just have a good time? Yeah. But he also wants you to just have a good time so that you can influence.
Oh,
God's smart.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right? So days of heaven on earth, please God. Your good life is a testimony. It's a testimony to people. Your good life is given because God loves the people you influence. If you have a good life, it influences other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And God is good. And if he is good, then he gives every good and perfect gift.
Yeah,
he wants to give you good gifts. Spiritual gifts? Yes. Friendship gifts? Yes. Anointing gifts? Yes. Gifts of the Spirit? Yes. He wants us operating and having all of those things, and he's ready to do it. Within the kingdom, he's giving. What else would give him pleasure? Well, Ephesians 1:9 says it's his good pleasure to make known to us the mystery of his will. So one thing that's giving him pleasure is that we get understanding, and we go, oh, I get that. And that really kills that old doctrine of you never know what God's going to do. Amen. And then Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. God loves what he's created. He loves his creation. He doesn't hate the earth. He's not going, well, it's all just gone. He loves the earth. He loves you. He created you. He loves you. He loves the animals he created.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
He loves his creation, the trees, the mountains, the brooks, the lakes. He loves all of that. He loves his angels, his men, animals, universe, plants, waters, mountains. All of that gives him pleasure. Go out there with God and enjoy him.
Yes.
Enjoy him. But before we were so busy with technology, people celebrated by going to the lake. They celebrated by going fishing. They celebrated by going to the river. They celebrated by going on picnics. There's something still beautiful about that. God's pleasure is in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you can go out there with him. Remember, first mention. Let's talk about first mention. He walked with Adam in the cool of the day. He walked with him in the spirit of the day. They went walking together. Amen. And do you think they were just like, now they were probably doing some good talking, but I would just guess that he went, look, there's a painted bunting sitting right there. Oh, they're in a deer. I just know that Jesus is like that. I just know God is like that because you want to know how I know it? Because we're like that.
Yeah. There you go.
My brother, Cliff, is, he's an avid hunter. He, graduated from was SWT then, 3 years as a biology major. And you think, wow, what's he going to be? He became a state trapper because he loves wilderness. And he told me one time, he said, when I go deer hunting, I'm not just looking to shoot everything. Those animals are like flowers to me. Isn't that amazing? He just wants to look at them. He don't think he has to pick all of them.
Yeah.
Not that he hasn't had some trophies, but interesting enough, he cares about those things. Yeah. They bring him pleasure. Where did he get that? It's a God-given desire on the inside that he loves that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, he loves his creation. They give him pleasure. Psalm 35:27 says, it is our Father's good pleasure to prosper you. He wants to give you the ability to meet needs. That's what prosperity is. Prosperity is not me getting rich. Prosperity is me taking the ability of God to bless people. Amen. Do you remember on Sunday that I told you all, I said the Lord told me I'm believing God for a certain harvest physically. And I told y'all that the Lord told me you'll see where to sow your seed. He told me sow a seed for it. After you all left Sunday, some precious people that used to come to church with us when we first started came through the door. And it was the little girl, the first child I ever dedicated to the Lord walked in here. And her mother said, she's going on a mission trip and I couldn't let her leave until you put your hands on her.
Amen.
Isn't that sweet? So me and Danny go running for our purses, you know. I knew she was my seed. She's going to India to minister. And, but God just made that path. I had prosperity so I could just give it to her. You gotta have something to be able to do it. A song is no good if it's not anointed. Preaching is no good unless it's anointed. Giving is no good unless it's anointed. Amen. God's good pleasure to prosper us so that we can prosper other people. Psalm 103:21 says that his angels do his pleasure. How do they do it? They hearken to the voice of the word. The word is to be spoken. Amen. You know that. It's to be spoken by us. And they will do his pleasure by us speaking it. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are heirs of salvation? And so that's God's good pleasure to have angels looking after us. Amen. Psalm 147:11 says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. Now that doesn't mean they're afraid of him, that worship him. He takes pleasure in the fact that we worship him and that we hope in his mercy. We hope in his mercy. He will have mercy. Amen. Psalm 149:4 says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. He takes pleasure in you. He likes you. He loves you. He likes most people if you quit being grouchy. He told Brother Copeland, Kenneth, I love you, but I don't like you very much. And Brother Copeland's like, what? He said, well, you're just so fussy. And so, of course, Brother Copeland, that's a short version, but Brother Copeland, of course, changed that. And I take pleasure in Brother Copeland's stories because they help me grow up. Amen?
Yeah.
But God loves you. He loves you, has fun with you. When the glory comes in here and we get to laughing like we do, he's tickling you like you tickle your baby.
Yeah.
He's just, I mean, when the joy comes, he's just blessing you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So it's his good pleleasure. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So just working with you and working in you gives him pleasure. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's his good pleasure to work with you. He likes you. He has pleasure. Ephesians 1:5 says, it's his good pleasure to adopt you as his children. Now, Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Your children are your heirs, adopted or born. They're your heirs, whichever way. We're adopted. But the Jewish people, if you're adopted, you had a better standing than the blood. You're in. There's no question about it. You can't be set aside or you don't, you know, they're not going to say, well, they're adopted and they're not and stuff like, no, we're, just as precious to God as the Jewish people are.
Yeah.
And so you are an heir of everything that God has. I want to talk to you about that for just a minute, about being an heir. I want to read you some scripture. This is Galatians 3:15. Dear brothers and sisters, here's an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child, and notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children as if it were meant many descendants. Rather, it said to his child, or your Bible probably says to the seed, to one seed, not many seeds, to one seed. Of course, it means Jesus Christ. Okay. Verse 17, this is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God would be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. Okay? Now listen to Galatians 3:29. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. So you are God's heir, and he takes pleasure in you being his heir. You're not the wicked stepchild. You're not Cinderella. Okay? You are his child, and he loves you because you are his own, absolutely his own. And so it's not based on, you can see everything that happened before the law is still good. That's why I submit to you that tithing is right. Yeah. Tithing happened way before the law. So people that throw that up to you, well, it's the law, it's the law, it's the law. They don't read the Bible, because the Bible says that God said the tithe is holy, which means it's separated.
Yeah.
And so this is also true with the promise. God promised Abraham. Mm-hmm. Moses' group were the ones who wanted the law. And so God gave it to them so they would know right from wrong, but then they couldn't do it anyway. He sets up a sacrificial system until the time of Christ. But what we have here is Paul is telling the Galatians, look, it is by faith that that you've become an heir. All you have to do is believe it. All you have to do is believe it. If you'll believe this, this is your portion. Your portion is, it's my good pleasure to give you kingdom citizenship and everything in it.
Right.
You can have it all. He's doing that. And you're not earning it. You're not kicked out because you're not perfect. You just become responsible for it. And the more you're responsible, the more filters into you.
Yeah.
Responsibility meaning that you learn to live by faith and walk in love. Amen. Praise the Lord. So being an heir is a big deal, should be a big deal to you. God is love. Love is all about giving and receiving. That's what it's about. It's about giving and receiving. So within this pleasure that he has with you is he wants a relationship with you.
Amen.
He wants to talk to you. Just like you talk with your best friend. Just like you talk with all of your friends. Only he's the most important one. And he wants to say something to you. Well, I don't hear anything. Well, just take a little bit longer. Take a little more time. And put word in you. The thing about it is this word will, it's a conductor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you have word in you, you can hear better.
Truth.
You understand? Yep. There's a magnet in you. If you don't have any word in you, what did the Bible say? He that hath an ear, let him hear. He who has will have more.
Yeah.
We're back to Mark 4 again. He who has will have more. He who hath not won't have more. But you have more because you have something in you that conducts his voice.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And so you put that word in you and you'll hear the Holy Spirit talking a lot louder. Amen. Amen. I hope you just got that. That was free. So let's talk then just for a minute about this as we're closing. What can we do then to please him? Psalm 29:30. I will praise the name of the Lord with song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock hath horns and hoofs. So sometimes we're like, okay, I'm really going to have to do this really hard thing to please God. When he would just like to see you stand up and raise your hands and worship God, or get in your car and worship him, or say something to him. Lord, I praise you and I love you. I give you glory, Lord. I bless your holy name. You're the object of my best affection and I adore you. Just something like that. Twice in the last 10 days, someone has said to Deb, I notice you call Father, Father dear. Now, I don't know if this has escaped all of you, but you say that every time we leave each other. And Father dear, as we go out of here,
right?
He's Father dear to us. He's Papa. He's Daddy. Yes, he's the King of the universe. And yes, we honor him for that. We do both. We do both. You learn your relationship with him and with people and you'll get it right.
Yeah.
If Governor Abbott walked in here today, you would probably not just walk up and slap him and say, hey, pal, how you doing? You'd say, Governor, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah.
Right? You would say that today. But then again, if he became your one of your dearest friends in a different setting, you could talk to him differently, right?
Yeah.
My friends, the Hollers, their dad, which is my pastor, he was their pastor as well. But when we're public, he's the pastor. Actually, he's the apostle. And they treated him like that. It wasn't just, oh, dad, you know. It was, they treated him on according to the office he's holding, or the anointing that he has, if you prefer. So, but then when we all just got together singing on the porch and everybody got their guitars out and, Parrish and Brandon are out there singing with him, it was a whole different story. Parrish and Casey would come over and the rest of us would get out there and Pastor John might sing a Hank Williams song while we're out there. I'll tell you younger ones who he is later. But just fun, just, you know, I mean, you can have fun with God. That's my point. Even though You are the God of the universe, and I honor you, and I bless you, and I hold you in the highest position. And then you can say, Jesus, did you see that hummingbird right there? And he'll go, yeah. Amen. Personal relationship. That's his good pleasure. That's how you can please him. Personal relationship. If we're going to please God, we're going to have to actively use our faith. You know the scripture, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Church. The just shall walk by faith. Every day. That's our job. We're not a hoping and a wishing. We have faith in him. We have faith in the promises. And we stay on that, and that pleases him. If we're going to please him, we have to live in faith. Hebrews 13:16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Communicate means giving. In this case, this is King James' way of saying it. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So he says, if you're a giver, he's pleased. You're a giver. Not just that you give, become a giver.
Amen.
Don't just give, become a giver. And you will see your whole world get flipped over.
Yeah.
Amen. Did you know that Jesus pleased God? It says in Matthew 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You remember somebody else who pleased God? His name was Enoch. It says he walked with God and then God translated him. Because God couldn't get enough of him. Just come on up here, man. I just love you so much. You know, he's walking with God. Did he do it because Enoch was walking around? I am so holy. I'm so perfect. So God. No, he was like, hey, Father. And he stayed right there with God and talked to God. And God just said, skip the rest of it. Come on. That's awesome. That was a rapture. That was one of the raptures. Noah in the boat was a picture of the rapture. You're about to get a picture of a rapture not very long from now. I believe. I personally believe that. Before this generation passes. And then the pleasure you find in him, the scripture says, Psalm 36:8 says, they shall abundantly... be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of a river of thy pleasures. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand is pleasure forevermore. Being in relationship with him. Just loving him. Just walking with him. Just talking to him. You'll hear him say things to you. You'll watch him point out things to you. He'll do it. He'll respond to you. He takes great pleasure in being in relationship with you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you're taking this real lightly tonight. You're like, well, Pastor's not mama whipping us tonight or giving us some big extraordinary revelation. This is revelation. The revelation is God finds great pleasure in you. And he wants to give you some things. He wants to freshen up your anointing. He wants to move you into greater anointings. He wants to give you more favor. He wants your authority to ring through stronger than ever before. Amen. He wants these things. He wants you to operate in the kingdom. He wants you to really, 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 really believe that when you sow a seed, you're going to get a harvest. Because if you do, you will. Expect it. Expect that it's coming to look you right in the face. And you will, when you start talking it, and you pick that up and you get going with it some, here it comes. Here it comes. I've noticed that personally, that I picked it up a little bit more lately. And in one day, I got two gifts in one day just randomly. I count all those things.
Oh yeah.
If somebody gives you 17 cents, that's God.
Yeah.
That's the favor of God. Mm-hmm. If they give you $2 million, glory to God, pay your tithe. Now, praise the Lord. I'm kidding. Well, I'm not kidding. You should, but. All right. So, let me, Let me read these last scriptures right here. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of the house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. I just think that's a Holy Ghost flow where you are just getting drunk and all the good stuff. Amen. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That sounds like overflow to me. That sounds like a harvest to me. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I don't care who's the president. I don't care what the country's doing. I don't care who's coming over the border. I'm in the kingdom. I'm living in the kingdom. And when we stand up and live in the kingdom, all that stuff can get pushed back. More of us need to stand up in God's good pleasure and live in the kingdom of God and let the kingdom spread like leaven, like Jesus said it would. And all hell will be held back. Because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God. Amen. Glory. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. It is our good pleasure to serve you. It is our good pleasure to see that you prosper, Lord. It is our good pleasure to get untangled from all the reproaches that would try to hinder us. We thank you, Lord, for blessing our lives. We thank you for it, Lord. We bless you. We thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for instructing us. When we get instruction, when we get disciplined, things straighten up. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Yes. We're not going to throw dirt and lose ground. Right. We're not going to be judging each other. We're not going to spend all that time. We are living in the love of God and blessing each other in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. We bless you and praise you.